To many people, empirical consequences often matter less than deeply ingrained beliefs and attitudes. Whether in urgent or less urgent matters, many believe that those with political power are better qualified to make moral decisions than are the private parties directly concerned. Such attitudes are international. An entrepreneur in India reported his experience with a government minister there. I had argued that lowering the excise duty would lower consumer prices of shampoos, skin creams, and other toiletries, which in turn would raise their demand. The tax revenues would thus rise, although the tax rate might be lower. Indian women did not need lipsticks and face creams, felt the minister. I replied that all women wanted to look pretty. A face cream won't do anything for an ugly face. These are luxuries of the rich, he said. I protested that even a village girl used a paste of haldi so that she could look pretty. No, it's best to leave a face to nature, he said impatiently. Sir, I pleaded, how can you decide what she wants? After all, it is her hard-earned money. Yes, and I don't want her wasting it. Let her buy food. I don't want multinational companies getting rich selling face creams to poor Indians. The idea that third-party observers can impose morally better decisions often includes the idea that they can define what are luxuries of the rich, when it is precisely the progress of free market economies which has turned many luxuries of the rich into common amenities of people in general, including the poor. Within the 20th century alone, automobiles, telephones, refrigerators, television sets, air conditioners, and personal computers all went from being luxuries of the rich to being common items across the spectrum of Americans and among millions of people in many other market economies. The first video cassette recorders sold for $30,000 each before technological progress, trial and error experience, and economies of scale brought the price down within the budget of most Americans.